Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Disrupt Radio, where we take a look at business and technology innovations that are disrupting current markets. Tune in each Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central on DisruptRadio.com for exciting new episodes, or you can download Disrupt Radio on demand on iTunes. Now, here's your host, Cynthia Neville.
You're listening to Disrupt Radio, and I'm your host, Cynthia Neville. I want to thank you so much for tuning in for today's show. If you have a question for a guest today, you can give us a call at 877-455-6681. Again, that's 877-455-6681. Today's show is brought to you by DCL of Texas. Register for Texas's Equity Crowdfunding Town Hall happening February 17, 2015 at the Mountain View College campus in Dallas, Texas. You can visit DisruptRadio.com to learn more. Remember, our show broadcasts live from 11:30 a.m. to noon central on BlogTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in each Tuesday for our exciting shows. We really appreciate all of our listeners and our sponsors as well. To check out any of our sponsors and partners, visit DisruptRadio.com. Let's talk about the food truck phenomenon that's going on right now. There seems to be no sign of slowing up, according to a recent study conducted by RestaurantHospitality.com. This industry is very exciting. It is growing by leaps and bounds, from pizza to donuts to candied jalapenos. Food trucks are serving up the goods to meet the growing demand. Consumers want variety, but more importantly, they want great tasting food and a memorable experience. So what's actually happening in the market that is making this such an exciting venture for many people who are leaving their everyday work lives to start food trucks? It's disrupting how people, consumers, are accessing food. A recent study showed that the traffic to casual and mid-scale full-service restaurants has suffered the most because of declining in consumers going into restaurants. It's declined about 3-4% over the last 2 years. With an increase in mobile dining options, there comes more competition. Food trucks are competing for coveted space, real estate that is, customers, and street cred. And it's not as glamorous as the reality TV shows make it. This is hard work. My special guest today create unique and intriguing street food and understand what it takes to satisfy a hungry crowd. On the line with me today, I have Tracy Tolbert. She's the owner of Chicken Shack on the Run food truck. I also have Fernando Mari, owner of Bottega food truck in Austin, Texas. And I also have Aaron Johnson. He's the partner, managing partner with Neighborhood Ice Cream Truck. Thank you all so much for being on Disrupt Radio today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tracy, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about what you sell, and I'm going to go in order here. Start with you, Tracy. What is it that you sell on your food truck?
Basically, I sell fried chicken, and I do I don't do any other parts other than the chicken wing. And then I do have some other little novelties that I serve alongside of that. I have a deep-fried chicken and waffle on a stick and a deep-fried red velvet cupcake.
Red velvet cupcake. Okay, we'll come back to that. Thanks, Tracy. Fernando, what is it that you all sell?
Well, we do Brazilian street food. So we do basically southern Brazilian cuisine. Which consists, basically in the truck, we serve a lot of pastéis, which are basically Brazilian empanadas. We serve cheese bread sliders, one of those, this famous Brazilian cheese breads. We make it our own, and we stuff it with pulled pork, and we stuff it with skirt steak and different sauces. We also serve rice and beans with different things in the Brazilian way, and It's very, it's Latin cuisine, so the menu is a little bit big, and it changes all the time.
Very unique, very unique. Aaron, what do you all sell on your truck?
Well, what we sell the ice cream novelty. For example, we have the SpongeBob character bars, Spider-Man, Batman, Ninja Turtle. We do the old school bomb pops, the red, white, and blue bomb pops, and we also have like fudge bomb pops. We do we sell strawberry shortcake and chocolate, like a chocolate shortcake as well, type of bars. And we also sell Bluebell pint-sized ice cream and other novelties. Right now, we're not making ice cream. We're basically selling, you know, other manufacturers like Blue Bunny, Bluebell, Popsicle, those name brands. But in 2015, we'll be making more natural and organic popsicles that we'll be selling on our trucks.
Very interesting. I want to come back to that. I think that's a very hot topic. Anything that has organic in it raises my eyebrow. So I'll come back and if we have time and chat a little bit about that. Tracy, tell me a little bit about why did you choose to launch a food truck? You come from a family of business owners, and your mom, as a matter of fact, owns and operates the Popcorn Factory, which is a very popular retail here in Dallas, Texas. But you've been around it a long time, but why a food truck?
Just because of that. I grew up working with my parents and their businesses that they both had. My mother, again, had the owner of the Popcorn Factory. And so I've worked in the restaurant-type style business for the longest. And then my dad, he's a vendor at the State Fair of Texas. And, of course, you know, due to age and everything, he's primarily turned all of that and those responsibilities over to me. So for the last past 5 years, I've been working at the State Fair during that season. And we are known for our southern fried chicken and our southern cuisine. And what I was finding out while working there and selling our product, that it was in high demand. And the people were asking, okay, so where can I get this chicken after the fair? Where can I find this chicken after the fair? Because we have some special seasoning and spices that we add to our chicken, and I call it my fairy dust that I created. And I figured, I said, well, you know what, you know, we need to do something beyond the fair. And I know I didn't want to do the restaurant because I know it was really, really taxing and timing. And then the food trucks kind of came up on the scene. They were not that popular in Dallas. It was only a few here when I was first looking into it. And believe it or not, I purchased my truck probably about 2 or 3 years ago and really hadn't started doing anything to it until about 2 years ago to actually get it going and running. So that's what made me want to go with something quick, mobile, not as taxing and demanding. I mean, it's, of course, it's a lot of work, but I control my schedule.
Awesome. Aaron, you guys have a quintessential ice cream truck, but it's not your ordinary ice cream truck. It is a food truck with the ice cream model, so to speak. Why did you want to start this business?
Well, it's a long story, but we're going to make it short. I'm originally an architect. And so when I moved to Dallas, I was in architecture, project management. Then I got into construction management. And then the economy changed and it shifted. So what happened is that the career and the profession that I once had shifted with the economy. So I found myself without a job. And so in my situation, it was extremely hard to find a job. Either I was overqualified or the companies were not hiring and they were keeping my resume on file. So my business partner, which is my brother, he was in the technology field, and he ran into the same situation. We were both in the same situation. So what happened, He moved to Dallas from Seattle. He used to work for Microsoft. And we found ourselves in the same city, in the same situation, and we're both unemployed. So one day, well, it's not one day. He went to took care of his father-in-law for maybe about 2 weeks. And mm-hmm. his father-in-law used to have a food truck. And he used to do barbecue, burgers, you name it, they did it. They did fair streets. He did that most of his life. So what he told my brother, he said, listen, if you want to make money, you sell, if you need to make quick money, sell prepackaged ice cream, because there's not a lot of stipulation dealing with the building, you know, permits and codes on selling it because it's prepackaged. So we needed an opportunity to bring in cash flow for our families. So we start interviewing and talking to a lot of different ice cream truck vendors throughout DFW Metroplex. And we put this projection together, and we decided to go in business. So we bought, you know, we actually bought conversion vans for, off of Craigslist, and we converted them into an ice cream truck. And so we got our freezers, and then we ended up getting our products through the distributors, and we started selling. But where we started selling, we didn't know, but we found out through trial and error, is the area that we start selling ice cream in, basically the household, they make a lot of money, so they normally don't buy off of street vendors. They go to storefronts. So what that did, that busted our projections. So we weren't making the revenue, and we were losing money really, really fast. So we had to be very innovative to craft up other revenue streams to keep our business afloat.
So we're going to talk about that in a moment.
Yes.
Aaron, we're going to talk about that in a moment as to how you were innovative, because that's exactly what we want to share with the listeners is how each of you are using your creativity to serve the market or target audience that you're trying to serve. Fernando, tell me a little bit about how did you get your start? You all actually, I believe if my research shows me correctly, were launching a food truck. Excuse me, a crowdfunding campaign to raise the capital that was needed for a food truck, because you started off as a pop-up restaurant. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We wanted to open a food truck, but when we looked at our bank accounts, we just couldn't. So we decided to make a video with our friends and put it on the internet and see you know, options about doing a crowdfunding campaign. So we did with Indiegogo, and then we did shirts. We made koozies, made a bunch of marketing items, and we distributed them for the people who donated money to us. And then we got $11,000 in 30 days. And then with that money, we were able to, you know, get the food truck started.
You raised in 30 days $11,000 using crowdfunding. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
That's awesome. Do you think that that was due to the unserved demand that existed for your Latin cuisine, or because people just simply love you, or was your video just simply creative? Tell me, what was the magic for reaching that goal, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's interesting because a lot of unexpected people donated money, and honestly, I would say that I wouldn't say that it's because of the lack of Brazilian food, especially because I would say that 90% of the donators were not interested in Brazilian food at the first moment, or didn't even know about Brazilian food. Mostly, I believe it comes to, you know, that connections is basically everything. So, you know, we knew a lot of people before, and they always, you know, some of them used to come to my place and I would cook Brazilian food. So, you know, when they see that somebody really wants to do something with passion and it's needing help, I think they, you know, Austin is a place where people really help the community. So
I think the
fact that we are in Austin helps a lot, and there's that sense of community here that it's the reason why I live here. And also because people can feel when something is really unique and when the person has passion about it. So I believe that whenever I talk to people and explain, you know, about Brazilian food, about my history and how I got into food, everybody kind of gives me a smile and say, hey, man, I want to help you in some way. And the crowdfunding campaign was just the perfect way to have that those combinations, you know, together. So I believe that it's more about, you know, giving people a true story and saying, hey, man, I want to do this, but I need your help. And everybody kind of helped, and I'm so thankful for that.
Awesome. Down to Earth, Maribel and Alma, have you guys joined us on the line?
Yes, we're here.
Awesome. So tell me, you guys self-funded your food truck. You have Down to Earth, which is vegan and vegetarian cuisine. What are some of the challenges that you all have faced in getting started with your food truck?
Mostly has been the financials. we actually didn't do any of the crowdfunding. We actually just dipped into our own personal savings accounts, and we did everything. We did everything as frugal as we possibly could to try to save as much as possible and get the truck running. I know that there's a big demand for healthy and vegetarian food out in festivals and out on the street. A lot of vegetarian people and people that are more health conscious are very limited and the options that they have available to them when they go out with their families to eat. So we wanted to get this out as fast as possible.
Yeah, and this is Alma. We've definitely had a very positive reception, especially in festivals where people are very surprised to find healthy options where they're used to seeing, you know, not that there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, they're used to seeing other, you know, like more fried options. So we always get a very, very nice reception, like, wow, there's something healthy that I can actually eat here. So
when you guys,
it's fun.
It sounds like that each of you have self-funded your startup initially. Did any of you get a loan to buy your truck or to start your venture? Anyone on the line actually get a loan first?
Actually, I had a pretty good amount saved on my 401k, so I did get a loan on my 401k, not necessarily out through a bank. So, I mean, I'm paying myself the interest, which is a pretty significant, a lower amount than if I had gone through a bank, which is a pretty good option, borrowing against my own savings. I don't know if a lot of people know you can do that. But it was ultimately a loan.
Okay, thanks. So, Tracy, we've talked about gauging consumer tests. You and I talk frequently, and we've talked about gauging the consumer tastes and how much food to prepare and what are some of the elements of starting a new startup or food truck that a new business owner should consider before they decide to set up an event or location. There's so many elements or variables that need to be thought about, planned for, and prepped for before you actually go out to that event. So give me three examples of things, Tracy, that you think a startup entrepreneur needs to understand about prepping for their food truck.
Well, I think preparation is truly is the key. If you want to go I guess say maximize your monies, you have to prep. One of the things you have to make sure that, you know, especially like your condiments, those things need to be prepped and packaged, and anything that needs to be prepared on site. It's always good, well, not prepared on site, but it's always good to prep those things before you get to the site. Because, again, when you're thinking about going out on an event, time is of the essence, and it's one of the key components. And with me, by having to do chicken, which is really rare and difficult, a lot of times most people don't fool with it because of the process. It has to be already pre-fried and frozen, so it goes from the freezer to the fryer. So you have to prep your I have to prep my meat and have that done, because again, a lot of times when you get to the events, it's normally around the serving time that you are there, and when people see you pull up, they automatically assume that you are ready to get started in selling. So preparation of the meat is important, like I said, and the condiments and those type of things that goes along with it, having everything in place and in order and ready to go the minute you open up your window to start serving, everything has to be ready to go.
So have you ever had an experience, Tracy, and I'll ask a couple of you as well, where you weren't quite ready and got inundated with customers right as you opened the window? That to me just seems like such a great deal of stress. have you ever had that experience?
I sure have. As a matter of fact, I had an opportunity to work a conference at the Potter's House, and it was a huge conference. And the first session that they were coming out of, I thought, well, maybe they probably weren't going to really eat until around lunchtime. So I prepped, but I didn't prep enough. And and of course, the minute I pulled up, the people were already waiting when I got there.
Oh,
and then, and what has to happen with dealing with the frying, the grease has to get to the right temperature. So just in that process alone and waiting on the grease to get to the right temperature. And, again, remember the chicken has to come from the freezer, so you still got to give it 8 to 10 minutes to cook, and the line is steady getting longer and longer and longer and longer. And I really didn't have a quick item that I could, you know, prepare and shoot out there because, again, I'm dealing with poultry, so I have to make sure that I have everything right on that. So that was a recent event that just happened. But, again, by the time I made it back to the next session, I was ready.
You were ready. Alma and Maddie Bell, have you ever had an experience like that when you just got slammed at your food truck and you didn't expect it?
I absolutely. This was back in at the Salina Balloon Festival. It was me, Maribel, and we have a worker too, but we ran out of bread for our grilled cheese sandwiches, so I had to run to store. I had to run to the, I mean, because everybody loved the grilled cheese sandwich with blueberry and spinach, and it was just a hit, and everybody wanted it. So we ran out of bread. I had to run to the store and leave them. So when I came back, the line was just crazy, and I kind of froze for like 1 minute. I'm like, okay, let's do this. But it was quite amazing just to see all those people, and you know, we just had to, you know, get up and, you know, make our food as quick as we could. So, yeah, it was quite an experience. So, anyway, that was a lesson learned, and believe me, we stuck up, you know, depending on what we know the size of the festival is.
Ah, very good. So you plan beforehand and just kind of estimate your cost, because that to me seems like the most challenging, one of the most challenging things to do in prepping for an event or a place where you're going to show pop up, is knowing how much to buy before you begin to serve or you have an event or a location to appear. How do you do that, Erin? How do you know how much to buy before you get there?
Well, that's
Erin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, for us, what we do when we do an event, we try to ask for the, you know, how many people, the population or quantity of people. And then what we do, we probably bring double. Our biggest challenge, we were in the State Fair 2014 last year for our first time. And so because it's the first time, there's a lot of unknown variables because the amount of people, I think it's total maybe about 3 million people for within 24 days. So we had no clue, but what we decided to do, my brother, he's a research buff, so we did a lot of research. We studied a lot of vendors from the previous years, and then we talked to some of
the reps at the fair, or you know, the decision makers, so we can make sure we had enough quantity of the type of ice cream that we were going to sell. And it's always a guessing game, but you want to try to make it more an educated guess so you can come out on top. And it's always a trial and error, but, you know, overall we luckily guessed it pretty accurate. You know, we still had some ice cream left over, but we didn't run out. And the ice cream that we had left over, we were in a position still to win with other events after being in the Texas State Fair. So
that's good, great preparation. Fernando, have you ever had a challenge where you were inundated or weren't prepared for your pop up to serve the consumers?
Yeah, I sure did. Our first pop up that we had. We had the setup already, and the equipment was brand new, so we didn't we made the mistake of not testing the equipment before. So our deep fryers were just not working, I didn't know. So whenever I put one of our empanadas to fry, they stood there and they didn't fry. So and the people were just waiting for it. So I had to run and go home and get my own deep fryer and bring to the place. And then start frying with my own little deep fryer, and we fried I think 400 empanadas that day in my own personal deep fryer. So
wow,
that was definitely something that I've learned: test your equipment before you start.
That is such good advice. How does that make you feel when you're? I'm trying to get into the emotion of this, you know, what would seem to me catastrophe that's happening at the most inopportune time. How did you feel when you realized that your machines weren't, your equipment wasn't working? What was going on in your mind?
Yeah, well, before I started, my mom has been in the food industry for over 20 years. And whenever I started, she was like, "Are you sure you want to do that?" I said, "Yeah." So she said, "Well, be prepared because it's going to be stressful most of the times. And that's your job, is to handle the stress and to go ahead and find a solution." So I always have those words in my head. So whenever we come into a stressful time, I know that I am the person who has to find a solution at the time, being the owner. So I surprise myself that somehow I don't get really stressed and I don't freak out. I try to find a solution as fast as possible, and that typically works.
That's good. That's good to hear. So let me ask you this, and we have 2 minutes left here. Do you all, and I'll go in order here, do you all think that the food truck industry is a profitable business? And let's make it 10 seconds in your personal opinion. Tracy, is the food truck industry a profitable business in your opinion?
Yes, it is, if you plan properly and prepare.
Awesome. Aaron, do you think that this can be a profitable venture for you and your brother?
Yes. You just have to find the right consumers and be at the right location, the right time, and ready to execute. And then the execution will lead to more loyal customers. So, yes, it can be.
That's a good point. Alma and Maribel, is this something that you feel will be profitable for you all, especially in the vegan and vegetarian market?
Yeah, we strongly think we have a good market, and so the only thing is we have to do our homework and make sure we target the right areas. So that's it. We do our homework.
Location is very important, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, location is important. Fernando, last question. Competition. Do you think that your competition will be stiff, or do you think that you guys will be able to beat your competition? 10 seconds.
Well, hopefully. We actually had a Brazilian restaurant here in Austin that just went out of business before we opened. But we have some Brazilian chains here that could be challenging for us. But let's see. We will do the best we can, providing fresh ingredients. That's the advantage of having a food truck. So hopefully I think we'll be able to beat our competition and provide fresh Brazilian food to our community.
Excellent. Thank you all so much for being on today's show. I really appreciate your sharing your experiences, and best of luck to each of you. And we'll make sure that we put a link on Disruptive News website, disruptnews.com, to you all's website. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.